This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. Yesterday, a report from Geoscience Australia and the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organisation, or CSIRO, suggests that they may have pinpointed the location of flight MH370. According to the report by CSIRO, the agency has narrowed the search area to three specific locations in the southern Indian Ocean where it's presumed to have crashed. Lynn Marks speaks to David Griffin, an oceanographer with CSIRO, who co-wrote the report.
So good morning, David. Could you tell us, the CSIRO has managed to narrow down what it believes to be MH370's area of impact. Could you tell us how this was done?
Well, it all hinges on some satellite imagery, which the existence of which we've always known from right back in 2014, 2 weeks into the surface search. The French Ministry of Defence passed on some images which showed the existence of some items on the sea surface. But the thing is, if you remember back then, there were many sightings of items on the sea surface, and these were investigated and found not to be of any interest. So at the time, these images were judged as not being particularly helpful. But then now, after many years of looking at many other clues, our attention has focused in on this new area that we described recently. And so when we remembered that these images did exist, we obtained them in high-resolution form from the French. And then when Geoscience Australia looked carefully at them, we saw that there were many items which were clearly described as probably man-made. And while we can't be sure that they're parts of the missing aircraft, if they are, then they are a vital clue to almost exact location of the aircraft, because these images were taken so soon after the crash.
Mm. So you were operating on the assumption that at least some of these objects were from MH370. Is that correct?
That's right, yes. We're not assuming it. You just go, well, if they are, there's a good chance that they are, so let's not ignore them. And then, so let's suppose that they are parts of the plane. Where would we start the search if we were going to resume the search? Because they give you a much more precise location of where to start the search.
Right. And so the report that the CSIRO came out with, which you co-authored, it hones in on four possible locations clustered around what ATSB believes is the trajectory of MH370 before it crashed. Were these areas not searched before?
Well, the four locations, they're the four locations of these high-resolution images. The thing is that you can't take imagery at this sort of resolution of the whole ocean. So we only have these four locations, and one of them has got many items which look like they could be parts of the plane. And so then when we backtrack those to where we think they were 2 weeks before at the time of the crash, we come up with a number of possibilities, but the thing is, because the backtracked location of those debris items is in the area where we have already searched, you can rule those out. And so that only leaves the sort of the parts on either side which have not already been searched. And so that's why we get a number of locations which are the only possible places where the plane could have crashed, which lines up with all our other evidence.
Judging from your report, the majority of search operations were clustered further north of the areas that you've pinpointed. Is that so?
The 25,000 new proposed search area that was proposed in December, most of that is well north of what is consistent with these images, yes. So that means if we're going to follow the lead from these images, then we don't need to search the northern half of the search area. But then, of course, if we don't find the plane in the southern end, then the northern half remains possible, although at this point it seems much less likely. I mean, we thought that back in December anyway.
Right, okay. And so how large are these four locations that you've pinpointed which could have held the plane?
Well, the main thing, from an oceanographic point of view, the thing that I can say with certainty is that seems that the plane must have crashed into this jet of current, an ocean current flowing to the northwest. And that crosses over the seventh arc. But the question is, if the plane crashed into that current, how far from the seventh arc? We're talking whether it's 10 kilometres or 20 kilometres or 30 kilometres. From an oceanographic point of view, I can't distinguish those, whereas that part of the calculation is done by the glide, how far the plane could glide from once it lost all the fuel.
Mm.
So that's up to those people who do that calculation, but it looks like something like 10 or 20 kilometres as being the width that you need to search, and then the length is something like about 100 kilometres. And then you need to do that on the east and the west of the seventh arc. And so that's two areas, each about 15 or 20 by 100 kilometres.
Right, okay. And are these areas within the 25,000 square kilometres previously believed to have held the plane, or do they fall somewhat outside?
No. They are a subset of that previously determined area.
Right, okay. And you ranked these four areas in your report by probability. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes. Well, the one on the east of the arc, we think that is the most likely one, because then the backtracking from the image location says that the most likely place is in the core of this ocean current. And so the thing that's very appealing about saying that it's in the core of the ocean current is that means that the debris would drift very rapidly to the west and then keep going, which would explain why no debris was found in Australia.
Right.
If it turns out that it's not there, then the other explanation for the debris turning up in the images is that it's on the flanks of the current. So that's either on the southern flank or the northern flank of that current. That could still explain these images, but then it makes it a little bit harder to explain the absence of debris in Australia, but it still explains all the other evidence. So you see, we have about seven lines of evidence, and what you're trying to look for is satisfying all seven lines of evidence optimally. Mm-hmm. And some are more believable than others, but whatever, any location that agrees with all seven obviously becomes your preferred location.
Right.
And that's the case for this eastern one, the southeastern one.
Right, okay. So, David, in your opinion, as an oceanographer, would it be feasible to relaunch search operations in that area?
Well, there's nothing really from an oceanographic point of view that would say that was any less feasible than anywhere else. So that's really up to people like Ocean Infinity or David Mearns' group. They're all saying that it's feasible, so that's really a question for them to answer.
That was David Griffin, an oceanographer with the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization, speaking to BFM's Lynn Mark. Now, Brian Finn has just joined me. Now, the Department of Civil Aviation at DCA and its Director General, Dato' Azharuddin Abdul Rahman, has responded to this report. He says, and I quote him, "I wish to reiterate that the aspirations to locate MH370 have not been abandoned. Every decision made has and will always be in the spirit of a tripartite cooperation among the three nations." There he's referring to China, Australia and Malaysia in this ongoing search. So it looks like the search continues. This evidence is going to be used for sort of pushing that search further. Brian, you know, there are questions that need to be asked about cost, because the costs are being borne by on the public purse. But do you think, you know, personally, that is right to continue with this?
Well, first of all, I think that, you know, particularly for all the families that are impacted by this, one of the things that in situations of grief like this is about closure. And cost, while important, should not be the overriding concern in this matter. If there is new evidence, we should try to pursue it.
I agree. Stay tuned for BFM as we continue to look into business news and analysis. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.